The first lesson on the day of Pentecost is from Numbers chapter 11, beginning with the 24th verse. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's peoples were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Second lesson is from Acts chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We have with us this morning a special guest, and I am honored that he's with us here from my last Sunday, and that is Reverend Greg Walton. He is the president of our Florida-Georgia district. Some of you got to meet him a few weeks ago when he was here meeting with the congregation, talking through the processes of the call work that is ahead in the seeking of a new pastor. And we thank him for being here this morning along with his lovely wife, Edith. And we pray for God's anointing on his message this morning. President Walton.
Good morning. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, on this Pentecost day, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit once again upon your people. Fill us with a sense of your presence, with a sense of hope, with a sense of joy. And Lord, we pray that during these days of transition, that Spirit would be continually poured out upon your people to bind them together in unity, to stand together to connect people to Jesus. For Lord, we pray that you would strengthen your ministry here in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's kind of a bittersweet kind of day as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost and the retirement of Pastor Schultz. Today, we celebrate the birthday of the church. Happy birthday, church! And in a sense, it was an awakening to something new. Something new that God was about to do among his people. Think about it. This was the beginning. Pentecost Day was the start. The church didn't exist prior to that. And now, something new was about to begin. And that's why it seems very appropriate that we celebrate Pastor Schultz's retirement today on this Pentecost Day, because our God is about to do something new at Epiphany Lutheran Church. God is about to do something new in the Schultz family. In fact, Mark has given me exactly 22 minutes because he's got this van parked out there on a timer, I think. So he is ready to go and said, don't hold me up. You know, it was at the Ascension that Jesus promised that he would come or send one who would equip his people to go in a new direction. That was why Jesus ascended. He said, if I don't go, I can't send you that one who will empower you, who will equip you to go and do something new. No longer would there be these scared, humble disciples, but instead they would be empowered to boldly share the good news of a risen Savior with the world all around them. And they did that in marvelous ways. And as we celebrate the Pentecost today, I believe that God is already preparing a new man for ministry in this place, and that he will continue to bless this ministry as you move forward together in unity. And let me encourage you to move forward together in unity. Let me just say a word or two about Pastor Schultz. Your pastor has not only been a great servant to this congregation, but he's also been a great servant to the district, serving as our circuit visitor for the six congregations in this close proximity geographic area that goes to Albany, Georgia, and Valdosta, and Tifton, and Lake City. I think the closest is the university, and that's not even that close. So, I mean, he's had a very large territory that he has covered. And more than that, he's been a good friend. And he's been an encourager. And a pastor with a very positive outlook, not only for the church at large, but for our district and for this congregation. Oh, how he has loved you. Mark, I know that the Lord is going to continue to bless you and Stephanie. I know that he has plans. Apparently mine did not work out. I had plans for him too, but he's going to North Carolina. So It's out of my jurisdiction. I can't do anything about that. But I know that God has plans for you there and that he will bless you and use you in mighty ways for the sake of Jesus. And for that I'm grateful. I know that you will be a blessing to that whole community up there. No matter what, I know that you will continue to be engaged in the Master's business in this life on into eternity. Because that's who you are. That's who God has made you to be. And that's really the charge for each of us on this Pentecost Sunday. It's a great day to remember that each of us has been chosen by the grace of Jesus and called into his service here, there, and everywhere. That is your charge as a congregation, to be about the Master's business. And what a joyous thing and privilege that is for each of us. We have been equipped by his word and empowered by his spirit, working through the word and the sacrament. And now we're called to engage in the Master's business to connect people to Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it always is about connecting people to Jesus. One thing that I've always appreciated about your dear about-to-retire pastor is that he has a great kingdom perspective. In other words, as important as a local church is, and it is indeed an important thing, it's far more important for us to maintain a kingdom perspective, to see the larger kingdom that God has prepared all around us. The people that need to learn and know Jesus as their Savior. And I pray that God will continue to bless each of you with those spiritual eyes to remain faithful to your calling as his people. People who have been equipped and trained and loved and cared for by a shepherd who is now going off to pasture, so to speak. I'm sorry, I meant pastor. Pastor. With all that in mind, let me just share a few thoughts with you this morning from Acts chapter 2. First, to engage in the Master's business, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I want you to know this morning that this Pentecost thing was not a one-time event. Think about it. These disciples traveled with Jesus for 3 years, trained by him, equipped by him, cared for by him. They had seen him at his best. They had seen him at his worst. They saw him crucified. They saw him die. And then they saw him rise again. He spent the next 40 days after the resurrection with them, teaching them and being with them before he ascended into heaven. And yet, let's face it, they still didn't get it. They didn't have a clue. They just didn't understand it at all. And so just before his ascension, do you remember what his disciples asked him? Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? What? Fellas, haven't you been listening the last 3 years? This is not what it's about at all. They still didn't understand it. They didn't get it at all. You may remember that night of the resurrection in the upper room as those scared disciples were huddled together and Jesus appeared before them. He said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you." And then when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." That night, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, in a matter of days, it was kind of a distant memory. Sound familiar? Because it's kind of the same for us, isn't it? Even though they had been filled, they needed to be filled again and again and again. And that same thing is true for each of us. Someone has noted that we as Christians are holy people. Holy people. In other words, we are filled with holes, and we leak out the Holy Spirit so that we need to be refilled again and again and again. So if we're to engage in the Master's business, we have to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. It's this infilling of God's Spirit that emboldens us to proclaim Jesus to the world. So as you begin to look at a new future, remember to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Come to this place and worship together. Come to the sacrament and receive Jesus within you. Pray that the Spirit would come upon you and use you to reach others for the sake of Jesus. Over these next weeks and months, there'll be potentially some tense times. There is someone you need to know who seeks to kill and destroy. And he looks for opportunities like this when there's no shepherd on site. Now, you have shepherds on site. Don't misunderstand me. But when the shepherd's away, the sheep will play. Let's just face it. There's one who is seeking to kill and destroy all congregations, and what's worse is he will try and pit you against one another. And so my word to you is, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. You prevent that. You stand together as God's people in this place, and don't let Satan have an inch. In fact, when I was with you last month, I shared a thought with you that the only difference between the word unite and untie is where the I is. And if you as a congregation are to stand in unity, it will depend on where each one of you, where the I is. Each of you has the right and the potential to untie this congregation, and you each have the privilege to unite this congregation. So stand together in unity. And I want you to remember this, that in the word unite, the I always stands before the cross of Jesus. And if you're to find unity in a time of transition, it will be at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. So Jesus has promised to fill you with His Spirit. Stand together and receive all that He has for you, but then take it out to the world all around you as you engage in the Master's business. The second thing I want to share with you this morning is that these disciples were empowered to proclaim this good news of the risen Jesus to all people. Listen again to our text. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. The disciples were so filled that they couldn't help but share what God had placed in their heart. They began to speak in languages that they themselves did not understand, but others heard the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus in their own language. The Holy Spirit leaked out of them, which is why they needed to be replenished. They were saved to serve, just like each of us are. Earlier, before He ascended, Jesus encouraged His disciples to stay in the city. We can see in hindsight that Jesus had a plan in that. See, Pentecost was one of the major festivals in Israel. Originally, it was a festival that celebrated the first fruits. So they would bring their first fruits and offer them to the Lord. They were offered Him the very best of what they had. Later, as history shows us, it became a celebration of the giving of the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments. And isn't it fascinating that on the very day that was set aside to remember first fruit giving, God made His disciples the first fruits of His new church? The same day that the Jews celebrated the giving of the commandments, the Spirit came to fulfill those commandments in a whole new way in the lives of believers. Jesus promised that He would send them His Spirit, who would not only empower His disciples, but cause them to remember all the promises of Jesus so that they could engage in the Master's business and bear much fruit for Jesus. And look at how God prepared the way. When the Jews were exiled, they were scattered all over the world. You remember the story of the Tower of Babel? This is almost like the complete opposite, isn't it? The Tower of Babel, they wanted to build this tower so that they could reach up to God, and God scattered them. And they were not able to do that. But here, God brings them all together. Jews from all over the known world were brought together. They came back to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. You had all the peoples of the known world gathered in one place at one time. Coincidence? I don't think so. God knew exactly what he was doing. And the Spirit came to this eclectic group and he brought them unity amidst all the differences that existed between them. And for a time, they could understand the words being spoken as if it were being spoken in their own language. Everyone was hearing the same thing. It was like what the UN tries to do, I think, you know, except they didn't need any little hearing things in their ears. And they were amazed. Through the Spirit's power, the proclamation of the gospel was made clear so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a marvelous God we have. The same Spirit poured out upon us this day again as we gather for worship, so that you and I are empowered and equipped to engage in the Master's business. We are filled with His Spirit so that we can better proclaim Jesus wherever He might happen to place us, even in North Carolina. Believe it or not. It isn't just about being part of the church. It's really being part of the world all around us. Wherever He places us, however He chooses to use us for His service, each one of us, without exception, has been called to engage in the Master's business, empowered by the Spirit, bearing fruit for Jesus. Just as Jerusalem was a gathering point from which they were sent into the world, this church is your gathering point. But it's not your staying point. God gathers you to send you out into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the church isn't to hide away and be safe from the world, although it sure seems at times like that would be a good thing, doesn't it? But even in the face of the world that you and I now live, God is sending us out. We are brought in, built up, and sent out into the world to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, if there was ever a time that our world needed this good news, it is now. So the Spirit empowers our proclamation even during a vacancy. You don't need a pastor in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus. You've had a pastor who has trained you to do that, who has displayed that in his very life. Now is a time to put into action all those things that you've learned over the past 10 years from Pastor Mark, as you actively live out your faith in Jesus, proclaiming Him to the world. Don't let ministry wait during a vacancy. God has much for you to do in this community. Finally, as we engage in the Master's business, we can trust that God has our future in His hands. When we're busy serving Jesus, we can be confident that He has our back, that He will support us, that He will strengthen us, that He will urge us to go forward, that He will supply all our needs. In the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, we have these wonderful words of promise from God. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans with a hope and future." His promise is that He will take care of us, each of us, individually, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He has placed His own indelible mark of the cross upon your forehead and upon your heart, claimed you as one of His very own, and He promises that He will never abandon you. He knew that there would come a day when Pastor Mark would retire. In fact, He knew the day long before Pastor Mark knew it. and that there would need to be a new direction for his church here at Epiphany. And Jesus knows what he has in store for this congregation here. He doesn't want us to be so concerned that we can't engage in the Master's business. He wants you to be confident that he has you right in the palm of his hand, that he knows your future, and that you can be confident trusting in him. Listen again to these closing words from our text for this morning from Acts chapter 2. Luke writes, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Some might argue that we are now living in the last days. We see such a casual approach to human life. We see terrorism all over our world, even in our own communities, and we fear. I can't be certain of the fact that we are in the last days, although I guess since Pentecost we have been in the last days. But God has promised, and I believe that it's Pentecost God fulfilled this vision, and you and I get to be a part of it. Undoubtedly, there are people among us who see visions and who prophesy. There are those who see signs and wonders of God. And I certainly can't fathom all that God is trying to say here, especially the blood and fire and vapor and smoke and all those things. But I do know this. Acts chapter 2 gives us a glimpse of not only what is happening now, but what is still to come. It's easy for us to get lost in this prophecy from the book of Joel and try to figure it all out and piece it together and say, well, we see this and we see this and we got this and this is what this means. Where I really want to focus your attention this morning is on the very last line, because this is why you were filled with God's Spirit, chosen to be his child and challenged to engage in the Master's business, because it's all about Jesus. "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." As you go about proclaiming that good news here, there, and everywhere, we can be confident that God will fulfill his promise. This phrase, "engage in the Master's business," is actually a biblical one. It comes from Luke chapter 19. Some of you may remember this is a parable about Jesus telling about 10 servants that are well-resourced, sent out by his master. As the master sends them, he says this, "Engage in business until I return. Engage in business until I return." I believe God is speaking that to each of us. He has resourced us with great gifts. All of us, collectively and individually. And he's brought you together as a church to reach into this community with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why he sent his Spirit, and he fills us, and he now sends us out into the world so that you and I can be engaged in the Master's business. How tempting it is to stand at a crossroads like today and worry about the future. Oh, what is it going to be like without Pastor Mark here? I know, don't start celebrating till next week. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about worry, didn't he? Jesus came to give us confidence. He said, "I came to give you life and give it to you to the full." Place your trust in God. He has a plan for your personal life. And he also has one for his ministry here at Epiphany as you work together. And as you place your trust in him, you'll see how God will bless that for the glory of Jesus in this community. Three simple thoughts as you engage in the Master's business. Be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again, not only on this Pentecost day, but every day. Pray that the Spirit would fill you again and again so that He might flow through your life. And be empowered to proclaim Jesus to the world all around you, whether it's at work or at school, whether it's in your neighborhood or maybe even in your own household. Proclaim Jesus and then trust God for your future individually and as a congregation. He has great plans for this ministry. And today is the first step of a new journey that He has promised to walk with you on again and again, day after day after day, until you can fully see and recognize His glory and His presence with you. On that first Pentecost day, God started something new, and it was good. And on this Pentecost day, 2017, I have every confidence that God is starting something new among you, and it too will be very good, especially as you engage together in the Master's business to connect people to Jesus here, there, and everywhere. May it be so for the sake of Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.